What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. You know at this time on Thursdays we bring in Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. 31 Thoughts is his work you need to check out, and he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we have talked a lot about your appearance on NHL Network with the announcement, the glorious beard that we have somehow failed to talk about during these Thursday segments. How long has this been in play here, Elliot? That was quite impressive to see.
Evidently pretty long.
So the last day I shaved was the day they announced the pause.
So that's from March? Middle of March?
I think it's March 13th, yes. I think that's the last day I shaved.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. That was a clap.
What about the trimming? Has there been trimming?
No, just natural?
All natural
here. This is the law of the jungle. Yes.
And how much does this get in the way?
Oh, it's disgusting. Like my son who's eight, like he likes to grab it and feel around it. And I say, you know, Max, should I keep the beard or shave? But he'll just go shave. And my wife thinks it's disgusting. And, like, I'm getting more and more people texting me and saying, are you serious? Like, cut that thing already. But I had one person say, the Joe Thornton is shaved. You have to keep the balance. You have to keep yours. So I've said that I'm not cutting it until the puck drops, and I plan on sticking to that.
So what do players think about it, though?
Well, most of them think it's disgusting.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be different.
Well, some of the beards we've seen in the league, I can't imagine anybody cast any stone saying that. I've seen some pretty bad beards in the league.
They think it's funny. Like, the ones who texted me or said anything about it, they think it's really funny. I think they like the fact that, you know, we're trying to make humor and fun in these times, but they say, like, despite that, it's still disgusting.
So your wife has apparently decided to go along with this whole time.
You know, I always joke with her. We have a pretty funny relationship, and she's like, that thing is so gross. She's like everybody else. And I'm like, what are you going to do, leave? And she just laughs. Like, you know, she goes, you're right, I'm stuck. Like, what am I going to do here? So, you know, on this one, she's conceded defeat, and we just have to live with it until it's all over.
Well, hopefully this week we're inching a little bit closer to this all being over very, very soon. So let me just start there. We had David Poyle on a couple of hours ago, and mm-hmm. I'll just start with you the same way I did with him. How do you feel about the return to play plan? Did everything work out in your mind? Did you just give us your overall thoughts?
Well, I mean, there were things, I'm sure like everybody else, there were things I liked and things I didn't like. But, you know, now that it's over, my general way of life is if you have an issue with something, state your case, and then a decision is rendered one way or the other, and then you move on, right? Unless it's really egregious. You know, there were some things like, I personally don't think Boston should get caught. I think they should be guaranteed the home ice advantage, whatever that is, throughout the playoffs, last change, all that stuff. But people didn't agree with me, and I lost on that one. There's a chance they could fall out of the number one seed. But I'm not going to continue to bitch about that. It's over. It's done with. It's decided. We move on. I think for the most part, and hopefully we get to play, I think it's going to be really fun to watch. I think it's going to be really interesting. There's going to be some good matchups there. There's going to be some interesting series. You know, that first series is going to be something we've kind of haven't seen in a long time. I think you got 24 fan bases involved, which I think is big. You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, You know, the best thing about this week was we got to talk about the fun stuff, right? Like the stuff we like to talk about. And hopefully there's plenty more days for us to do that.
I asked David if Nashville was ever a real consideration for the list of 10 of hub cities, possible hub cities. And he said yes. He brought up dressing rooms because obviously you're going to need to accommodate 12 teams. And he kind of pointed to, laid out that you got to have the right setup, and maybe some of the places are one of those facilities that shares, you know, NHL, NBA team. They have a setup to accommodate the dressing room situation. We kind of had fun earlier, so after that interview, of just guessing. Willie said Vegas, Minnesota. Chase said Columbus, Dallas. I said Vegas with a wild card of Edmonton. And this is where I want to go with you. Why would you have three cities on there? I need to know if the quarantine, what's in place now when you enter, you go across the border and enter Canada, if you think that's going to go away, because obviously I will change my answer. Teams are not going 2 weeks in advance to quarantine.
Well,
so,
I agree with that. I think you're right about that, and I think the league made that very clear this week. The players have been saying that behind the scenes. And, you know, I always got a sense there was a confidence that they would be able to get things to work out. And I think we now know it's going to be easier to get things to work out in the United States as opposed to Canada. You know, the U.S. government has made it very clear they want sports to get going, and they will do what it takes to make that happen. The Canadian government doesn't quite feel that way. So I think if that two-week quarantine, which is the way it goes right now, is not lifted by the time they are ready to begin training camps, not only will there be no hubs in Canada, but I think it's very possible the Canadian teams will be training somewhere in the U.S. The GM of the Vancouver Canucks, Jim Benning, yesterday said that they are looking into training in the States if the border thing does not change. They're not the only team thinking about that. I think a few other Canadian teams are looking at it too. And I think the border is now closed through June 21st. Around then, the next decision is supposed to be made. I think if the quarantine isn't up then there will be no hub in Canada.
I said if I were just trying to think through the NHL, the league's lens, through their eyes, I said, here's my rankings of where they think. And obviously, I'm throwing darts here, so I want to hear how you would answer it. I said 1, 2, 3 would be Edmonton, Toronto, Vancouver. How would you rank the three cities?
Well, in terms of city, I think Toronto right now would be third.
You think Toronto would be third? Okay.
In terms of safety.
Okay.
Vancouver and Edmonton are, in terms of the number of cases, they're way lower than Toronto. So that is something that both those cities have in favor of Toronto. In terms of overall setup, I would rank Toronto and Edmonton ahead of Vancouver. I think all three of them have a great primary rink. Like that problem you talked about with Nashville and the dressing rooms, none of these rinks have that issue. They're all relatively new, beautiful rinks, especially Edmonton's, which is the newest and is a spectacular rink. The issue that Vancouver would have that the other two don't have is Toronto has better practice setups and Edmonton has better practice setups closer to the main rink. The hotel situations, Toronto is the best with Vancouver second and Edmonton third. Edmonton is putting out a full court, all out blitz on getting this done. They are nakedly ambitious in how they want to do this. I think the biggest question to me, guys, becomes, does it matter if it's an Eastern or a Western city? Like, we all kind of think Vegas is in big on this. And, like, you know, to me, Vegas, Toronto would make a lot of sense. But, you know, I'm not so sure about Ontario right now with the cases being as high as they are. And I'm not sure about Canada. You know, would the league want to go to Vegas and Vancouver or Vegas and Edmonton, two Western cities? Would they? I mean, I think and the other thing, too, I kind of wonder is, would Chicago, for the purposes of this, be considered an Eastern city? If you don't like, if like would Chicago be, if Toronto's not available, you're looking at Columbus, you're looking at Pittsburgh, you're looking at Chicago. Could Chicago be the Eastern option? I think they have a lot of different ways they could go here.
I'm talking to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. Elliot, I'm going to recall a saying that you used while all the coaching changes were going on during the season, including one in our city in Nashville. And the old adage of if you're getting saves, all of a sudden the coach seems a lot smarter. Well, we definitely know that, you know, the Predators benefited. UC Saros got red hot. But no goalie has played since, you know, March the 11th or whatever. So I just started thinking about the reset. And the goalies in this tournament, like Sergei Bobrovsky, for example, who had a nightmare, but he gets to start over. All of these guys, you could probably make an argument that you know, any one of these goalies, all of a sudden, with the reset button hit, if they're playing their best, their team becomes extremely dangerous. That's going to be the theme of these playoffs, I would think.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, another line that's always pretty funny is Alain Vigneault, and you have to imagine him saying it with a slightly French accent. He says, if my goaler is better than your goaler, I win. If your goaler is better than my goaler, you win. And I've always loved that way of explaining hockey. And, you know, I think that's going to be so true. I mean, like, somebody asked me today, what do you think the games are going to look like when they start? Well, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to hear they were going to get two exhibition games in, because I think that's going to help. But, you know, like these guys, they're going to be in shape, but are they going to be in hockey shape? Like, how rusty is it all going to look? And I also do think, guys, like the lack of the crowd atmosphere, I think it will have an effect. Now, I think we're going to try to do things to make that atmosphere better, but I can see these early games being kind of sluggish. And obviously the goalies in particular, but the line I always use too, guys, is no matter what happens in the regular season, you get to rewrite your year in the playoffs. That's always the case. Yep. Like you guys have a lot of guys this year who really struggled. Doesn't matter. Playoff time. You get to rewrite your year. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen for a lot of these guys.
It's a great psychological point that you're making that is going to be something that I think probably sports psychologists will be studying all across, right? That there are some players, right, even go down to the high school levels that seem to thrive when the crowd is there. And I think of Reggie Jackson, right? I mean, the guys who did it on the big stage, not that they didn't when the spotlight was off, but you know what I mean? Like, there are some guys that do seem to thrive off of an environment more so than others, but we'll get to find out, I guess.
Absolutely. I mentioned Reggie Jackson. I watched some YouTube of his 3-homer game last night. I don't know why. I went down this weird rabbit hole of like Greg Nettles' great defensive plays from those World Series and then the Jackson homers. That's like some of the first World Series I remember watching were those Dodgers versus Yankee series. But yes, I do think that. I think there are definitely players who are fueled by emotion. And, you know, one of the things I know that we've talked about as a TV network is, does it make sense to put a DJ in the ring to create some atmosphere? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's going to happen, guys, but I know it's something that's been talked about.
I'm going to ask one non-fun question. Like you said, we're all excited to talk about tournaments and matchups and a bracket and all that stuff, but how far do you think they have to go to reach their goal of the testing that they want to have? Like, we know in the States that's been a big thing, is how accurate are the tests, how many people can get the tests, what kind of progress we're making. And I know all the leagues, by the time they start playing, they want to have a lot higher level on all these fronts than they do today, as we said. But they seem to be pretty confident they can get there.
That is true. Like, these leagues do seem to be pretty confident, and they do seem to be doing pretty confident in the sense they'll be able to do it where it doesn't take away from the general public. Now, I don't know how that's all going to work. I don't profess to be smart enough to tell you, but they're talking like that. One of the things I have heard is that it might not, there's a lot of tests out there now. They're talking about whether they be saliva tests where you don't have to do the swab, I've heard that they're looking into, are those options better? But, you know, I don't know. I know they're working on trying to formulate it, and because they have a unique issue with two countries, what they do in the United States might not be the same for what they do in Canada. So it's I can't answer the question as well as what you'd like, but I do agree with you that they seem confident that they're going to be able to solve this issue.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and when I was watching Gary Bettman's announcement and him laying everything out the other day, he got to the draft lottery part, and I started calling him Uncle Gare because he lost me, because it was a little confusing, and I've figured it out a little bit more since then. Like, come on, Uncle Gare, come on, stay with us here. But what do you obviously in trying to figure this out of making everything fair, the draft was always going to be one that was going to be difficult. With how they've done this with the phase one and you know, the teams that aren't going to be the 24, but then the potential of the phase two and setting that all up with the draft lottery, what did you think about that whole thing?
Well, I remember someone first kind of told me what the draft lottery was going to look like, and I was like you. I was like, what? Like, how many university degrees do I need to understand this? and because I couldn't figure it out. But I have to say that when the commissioner explained it on Tuesday during the media conference, it actually made perfect sense to me. Now, I thought I was going to hate whatever they came up with on the draft lottery, but I have to tell you, I think it's the most fair. I've actually grown to like it. Look, like every year, 15 teams are in the lottery. 16 teams make the playoffs and 15 teams are in the lottery. That's definitely the case here. You've got 15 teams in the lottery. Now, the one thing I might have changed was, you know, if we need the secondary lottery, all those teams that lose will have the same odds, 12.5%. I might have said, like, you know, if Montreal loses, they should get more odds than anyone else. Again, I'm not going to win that argument. But I really do think that that's probably the fairest way to do it. I mean, it's going to be weird if one of those teams gets the first pick and we have to wait 6 weeks to find out, okay, who's actually got the first pick. That is definitely going to be different. But I have to say that I thought the plan was better than anything I could have come up with and made a lot of sense.
But we still don't – I mean, we know when they're – June 26 is when they would start this process, you know, according to some things. But we still don't know exactly when the draft itself would be, right?
It's going to be after the season.
So they definitely would, because when we were having that conversation of doing it before the playoffs or during the playoffs, I mean, it never made sense. So I'm after the season certainly would make sense and would make it easier for GMs to kind of have a plan of how to move players around and picks and trades. That seems to fit. How much time do you think really needs to be in between the end of the season and the draft and then the start of the next season?
Well, I can tell you that when they put out that memo advocating for the draft in June in the first place, they said that the league had said that them and the players had agreed on 45 to 55 days.
So 55.
And then I think it's going to come down to, you know, what the second wave looks like. And is there a special time specifically they want to start?
Specifically to the Predators, as we actually talk a little bit of the on-ice stuff, one of the conversations that we've had of, okay, who benefited the most from the layoff? Now that you know that the matchup is going to be against the Arizona Coyotes, who do you put in net? Is it UC Saros? Is it Pecorine? So if I asked you the question of looking at this roster of who you think probably benefited the most and could be dangerous when they actually start play, what would your answer be?
Well, I think we kind of hinted on it at the beginning. I'm looking at all your guys that didn't have good years. And I'm saying, okay, guys, that's over. You had your mental break. You had your physical break. You know, let's be who you are. You know, clearly Matt Duchene struggled with the expectations of coming to his new city. That's over now. It's still technically your first year, but your first year really is over. Now you're kind of starting year 1B. Ryan Johansson had a rough year. Forget it. Arvidsson, he was not himself. Hey, Magnus, this is your time. You're the great playoff player we have. Forget what happened before. I mean, if in goal, I'm going with Rene. Unless he, like, bombs out in the two exhibition games, he's my guy. He is my guy. But I think there's, like, and was there anybody on your team really playing hurt?
Aren't they all?
Yeah, I mean, that was good.
Victor Arvidsson is the one for me that stands out. I just don't think he was right for a long time.
I always call him Magnus Arvidsson because the guy used to play in Ottawa. Sorry about that. Yeah. I've done that on the air before. It's embarrassing. But, like, that's what I'd say. Like, you know, like, you know, whatever happened before, it's over. It's gone. This is a new season. Like, I think of any team, you probably have as many. Like, the team to me that benefits the most physically is Columbus. Like, they were like zombies walking with all their body parts falling off, those guys. And yes. Now they've got a chance to really get healthy. Seth Jones is healthy. Cam Atkinson is healthy. Like, I think, I don't know if there's a team that benefits more from an injury standpoint than them, but I look at you guys from a mental standpoint, and I don't know if there's a team that has a chance to benefit as much as you guys.
Okay, rapid fire on the way out. So, first two rounds, 5 or 7 games?
I think they want 7. I think they're worried about timing, 5.
What would you do?
It could be 5.
What would you do?
I would do as many 7-game series as I can.
Okay. Your two cities would be, it sounds like you were on board with Vegas too, so what would your two cities, Vegas and whom?
I would do Vegas. Like, I wouldn't care about location. I would do Vegas in one of the two Canadian cities out west, Vancouver or Edmonton. Pick.
Okay. And finally, last one. I'm just off top, man. I'm getting old. I'm forgetting this stuff.
Well, I've got one.
The season reseed
after the first round, or go by brackets.
I've heard that the reseeding is the most likely scenario, and I agree with that. I think best teams should get worst team, and I've heard they're leaning in that direction. That might possibly occur.
Okay, and the 2020-21 season will start in December.
I would, you know what, if I was them, I think the NBA is going to start on Christmas Day, which is a big day for them. If I'm the NHL, they've made New Year's a big day for them with their outdoor game. I'm going Jan 1.
Wow. Okay. All right. Good stuff on the way out. Thanks for the visual, the glorious beard earlier this week, and thanks for the visit. You have a great week.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Elliot. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on the show. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Who's crying, Chase?
Jamie's crying.
Yeah, why is Jamie crying?
I don't know. What did Diamond Dave do? I always blame Diamond Dave.
Yeah, when in doubt. Just was curious. When he seemed surprised because, Jamie's crying. Seems very surprised that Jamie's crying.
I'm sure he did something.
Just blame Wiznot. That's why Jamie's crying.
But I don't know if Jamie was in Nashville, you definitely have to blame the Wizinator. But, you know, I don't know if Jamie was in Nashville. Here locally, everything gets blamed on Wiznot. Yes. Pretty interesting stuff, as always, from Elliot Friedman. How about the little rapid fire there at the end?
Yeah.
Starting the season January 1?
We haven't even really talked about that. I mean, I guess we assume, you know, the Winter Classic is certainly in jeopardy in how we know it. I mean, you're not going to do a Winter Classic without fans, but who knows what it looks like by then. But that's interesting that if now you're cramming a lot in a short amount of time because you're starting January 1st, but that is a big day for the NHL. I like his rationale with that because the NBA is always on Christmas, so that's kind of their thing. Mm-hmm. The NFL does have a game scheduled on Christmas Day, which I thought was interesting, a Friday. But yeah, January 1st. I think that's interesting. That was a little nugget on the way out of a good prediction by Elliot.
That was surprise. That got my attention. January 1. I don't know. The problem that I have that we've talked about this is at some point you can't keep robbing Peter, right? I mean,
right.
You have to get it back on track at some point. So how do you get it back on track if you don't start until January 1? Are you talking about less of a season? What's the games? Are we talking about 82 games? Are we talking about something else?
That's the one, because I wonder on that, do they, you know, because they said at the beginning, like, we want to play 82. You know, we don't want to cut games off the season. But if they keep pushing this, getting this season resumed back, are they going to have to? Is going to be the question. You know, do they play 72, you know, or something like that? But, you know, like in baseball, we were talking, you can play doubleheaders. Don't think you can really do that in hockey. So you can have more back-to-backs, but – you know, it's just you're going to run out of space at some point to get all 31 teams to play 82 games. It's going to be really tough to do that starting on January 1st and then trying to get the next season where it'll start in October like it usually does.
Oh, you mean September.
Or September, camps. Camps.
You got to have camps.
All.
So, yeah, I don't know. Boy, that is interesting. I never even really consider. I mean, I get it. I'm intrigued by that. That's, boy, you're talking about what a way. So, and you're right. How about the win? I mean, it does feel like that seems like a stretch, right, at this point to think that there will be a Winter Classic on January 1st.
Yeah, I just don't see it right now. A lot could change, of course, but at this point, I don't see it. Now, let's use my date of they actually start playing games around August 1st. So you take the month of August, September, you go into October.
It's going to take close to 3 months, right?
Yeah, so you're lifting the cup. Whoever lifts the cup is probably last week of October, maybe somewhere around November 1. Elliot and Willie's thrown it out before, 55 days in between raising the cup to starting the next season.
Elliot said 45 to 55.
Yeah, 45 to 55. So you're taking the month of November and then half of December, essentially. So you're going into the last week of December. So that puts you in that window of January 1st. And that's doing a lot. I mean, you're doing the draft. You're doing free agency.
Boy, that is a lot.
Training camp. I mean, you're cramming a lot in there, and then January 1st, you're starting your next season. So how long – I mean, if you play 82 games, no all-star break, no spring break, like I call it, a very, very compact schedule. I mean, when are they done? July? Are you basically looking at a calendar year of cramming all this stuff in?
Done? Are you talking about done with the regular season?
Well, yeah.
How are you going to be done in July? You're done in the middle of June right now.
Yeah.
Right now under the current setup. You're talking about wiping out 3 months. October, November, December. That's three months of games.
Right. You're right. I'm doing math. When do you think that they would crown not the cup this year, but in the playoffs the next season? The following season. So if they start January 1, you've taken October, November, December off. So you would have to add most of April, you're still in regular season. May, you're still probably in the regular season. You get into June, you can start the playoffs by June. Yeah, I mean, you're basically taking a calendar year to get all this stuff done, and then it's September that you're in your next off season. There's no way.
No. I mean, like I said, you have to make up 3 months of games unless your schedule is really, really, really tight, really compact. 3 months. Okay. So add on 3 months. So you're talking, it takes 6 months to complete the regular season, okay? So that puts you into June, like you said. So you, that makes you start July 1st, starting your playoffs. So July, August, that's basically wrapping it up maybe by Labor Day weekend?
Maybe. And then
maybe?
And then
maybe?
Yeah, and then you have 45 are they going to agree to 45 to 55 days in between
again? So that would put it at
then you
November
then if,
or that would put it at put it in November sometime.
Yeah, then you're then you're back on track for
but
the most
are
part.
You?
For the most part.
You're still not on track.
You're
starting a month later.
Right,
or
but you're closer
a month and a half later.
But you're closer to where you were. If you're starting November, but that's camp, but you're closer. Not by much, but you're closer. Yeah.
If you started the first week of December, you're talking about a little bit different deal.
Sure.
Maybe you're done in still good if you're talking about 45 55 days to start training camp, you're done in what, August?
Yeah, and I don't know if they agree. I mean, do they agree to do that 2 years in a row?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
It's
asking a lot. I mean, you're going heavy with no break. I mean, that's going to be tough. So I guess the biggest question is, does this ever look the same again? Do we ever talk about camps in September, starting the season in October, or is it pushed so far back now to try and cram all this in that it's just going to be a permanent adjustment? I'm sure they don't want that.
These are things it's just constantly. I think David Poyle was basically referencing that today, right, during our interview.
Yeah.
It's like you start with one question and it branches out to five more questions.
Right.
That's what it does feel. It feels like everything we bring up has tentacles, right? It just keeps going. What about this? And then what about that? And then what does that mean for this? And what does it mean for that? It seems like it's endless. I don't know.
Yeah, and then you finally just go like, well, I didn't even think about that. Crumble up the piece of paper and start again.
So did I catch him? Did I hear that correctly? He said Vegas, Vancouver. He took the two V cities. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. That he had, because he had Toronto third.
He had Toronto third.
And I thought that was interesting.
So Willie takes Vegas, Minnesota. You took Columbus, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I took Vegas, Edmonton. Elliot Friedman took Vegas and Vancouver.
Both, so you and Elliot both go out west, which seems to, that wouldn't shock me either. But Vancouver is an interesting one. Nice place.
Beautiful.
I've never been.
Place.
I've just heard about it.
Beautiful place.
Heard it's nice.
It's a great city. Especially a great city to go visit.
Yeah. I think at this point it's just, you know, and he makes very good points about Canada. Like if by the end of June, if they're still in the same boat, then you can just forget going to Canada with any of this. But I think it's, whether it's east or west, they're just going to find the best setup possible and the safest setup possible. And they may not even know. I mean, it's hard to tell that answer. You and I were very quick to say LA off the list, and I stand by that. I don't see LA having a chance, but Willie did bring up an interesting point that maybe by then it could be more viable, but you know, is it going to be viable by the time they have to make that decision? Because it's not like they can just say, hey, we're going to go to this city and then a week later go. I feel like there has to be time.
Yeah. I keep wrestling with, it doesn't make sense for a Canadian city today. Today, you would never say a Canadian city. But why, this is not about today. This is about down the road. Why would you have three of the 10 cities in that country if you didn't think one of them had a real shot of land in this, right? I mean, I don't know why you would have three cities on there. Three, not just one, three. So I just kind of feel like there's a reason they put three of 10 from Canada on the list, that one of them's going to get it.
That's the reason I said. Well, because I think that's what they want. I mean, they ultimately would like that, have one American city, one Canadian city. But, you know, because it's that, I mean, it's the one sport that you can say really is, even though a majority of the teams are in America. I mean, it's a Canadian-American sport. That's just what hockey is. And so I think they want to be in both countries if they can. But, you know, they also recognize the fact that they just logistically may not be able to.
Yeah,
with everything that's out there.
All right, we'll come back and wrap up Thursday's show on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Some news items to pass along here on Darren Donick and Chase.
News you can use?
Just coming down. Well, if there's some runners out there, some marathon runners, I don't know if you've seen this. This happened during the break, so literally in the last couple of minutes. The Boston Marathon, you know, which has been going on since the 1800s, 1897 to be exact, has been canceled as an in-person race for the first time ever. It will be a virtual event. Now, help me with that. So 124 years, the Boston Marathon has been obviously an in-person race, and it will now be a virtual event. So if you're going, I got no chance.
What? How do you?
All participants who originally. That's why I'm asking, because I went, All participants who were registered for the event will be offered a full refund of their entry fee that was associated with the race and the opportunity to participate in a virtual alternative, which can be run anytime between September 7th through the 14th. The BAA will also offer a series of virtual events and activities throughout September Marathon Week in an effort to bring the Boston Marathon experience to the constituencies that the organization serves here in Boston and across the U.S. and around the world. I still don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
Have the opportunity to participate in a virtual alternative. Okay, so anyway, whatever that means. But, you know, I bring that up because there are people here in Nashville. You have to qualify for that.
Yeah.
But there are people here in Nashville. I mean, we have talked to them over the years that, you know, have run the Boston Marathon that, or live here in Nashville and run in the Boston Marathon. So just wanted to pass that along. Been around a long time, since 1897, but it will not be an in-person marathon this year. Also something to pass along. We've been talking about some of the rule changes, possibly in the NFL, that's been floated out there. The owners have indeed voted today, and according to Albert Breer and others who follow the NFL and cover the NFL, this is what they have put out there. I have seen expand injury reserves to allow three players to be designated for return.
So
expand IR to have three players designated for return. Okay? There's one rule that passed.
I like that.
So that has passed.
So done deal.
Okay. Make permanent automatic replay of scoring plays and turnovers. Let's again make permanent auto replay of scoring plays and turnovers.
I thought they already had that. Like, so they're saying they review everything?
Make permanent automatic replay of scoring plays and turnovers, yeah.
Yeah.
Expand defenseless player protections on kickoffs / punts.
Okay.
So expand defenseless player protections for kickoffs and punts. Why? Because the creative onside kick proposal that was out there, that quite honestly, there were some people, the creative, they liked. Crazy were like, come on, give me a break. People thought it was creative. They're like, yeah, okay. It was indeed voted down.
So they're not going to do it.
Yep. So the 4th and 15 at your own 25 was voted down.
I don't think that's – it may be voted down now, but I don't know if that goes away completely. I could see that coming back up at some point in time. Maybe modified, but I feel like that's a rule that will be revisited.
And the last – it's not last – certainly not the least, okay? And I just saved it for the last. You can thank Mike Vrabel for the last one. You are no longer allowed to manipulate the clock.
Well.
So Bill Belichick, and the reason I say it's really Bill Belichick's fault, but it was actually Mike Vrabel's fault because he brought it to light on a big, big stage in a playoff game that had the creator of this, Bill Belichick, going absolutely crazy, which is hilarious, which I think maybe he thought, since I created this, I started all this, you're not allowed to do it. But nobody's going to be allowed to do it anymore, which we all kind of knew that was coming, right?
Hey, that's saying something. If you're a head coach and you do something and then you get a rule out of it, that's congratulations to Mike Vrabel on that.
Mike Vrabel will always have that on his resume, for sure. He helped change the clock rule, right? You cannot manipulate the clock anymore.
Yeah.
So there you go. And that was all stemming from the playoff game this past year. Okay, speaking of the NFL, there's a list out there on quarterbacks. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, so I saw this actually on First Take. They were talking about it. CBS Sports put out a list, because we love lists, and they have different tiers that they've put quarterbacks in. Tier 1, bona fide franchise quarterbacks. Tier 2, top pros, proven winners. Tier 3, rising stars. Tier 4, you can win with them. Tier 5, guys, veterans, and placeholders. Tier 6, good luck. Tier 7, the jury is out. So this is the list that it's actually Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports that he's put this out. So this is Tier 1, the bona fide franchise quarterbacks, and I want to see if you agree with these. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Ben Roethlisberger.
I have issues with some.
Do
you want to hear my issues with some?
I do.
Who they are?
Yeah.
I'm going to start right out of the gates with the MVP. I'm not completely bona fide, 100% positive, without a doubt, that this works for Lamar Jackson the rest of the way. I'm not completely sold on that.
I'm with you. That was the first one.
Did he deserve to be the MVP last year? Yes. Am I convinced the next decade is his, like I am Mahomes? No, I am not. Russell Wilson? We know. Yes, 100%. Deshaun Watson? Yes, 100% in my book. I mean, Brady goes without saying. Brees goes without saying. Rodgers goes without saying. Carson Wentz? No.
Nope.
No. I'm not willing to say that. You willing to say that about Carson Wentz?
Nope.
No.
I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. They just drafted Jalen Hurts. Not that they think he's the next guy in the franchise quarterback, but Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. that's a problem. So I don't see it.
I don't love it. I'm reluctant, but I will agree with Roethlisberger. But I don't love it, and I am reluctant. But I'm still going to say, okay.
I think he has been. I don't know if he still is. You know, that's my reluctancy with it. Like he was.
But are we projecting, or are we just saying like right now?
Well, they're saying right now, and they actually puts the 2019, like who they had in that category in 2019, so you can compare.
And Roethlisberger was on there in 2019. Ironically, Cam Newton was on there in 2020. Just think about that. Yeah. On their list, the same list in 2019, Cam Newton was. This year, he doesn't even have a home as we sit here. June is Monday. Doesn't even have a team yet.
Yeah, and he probably won't by Monday.
By the way, Andrew Luck on there.
Yep. Which,
okay,
makes sense.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, isn't it crazy how just last year the list changed?
Yeah. Tier two, just to, because we got to, I know we got to go. I'll just read through these. Tier two, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Dak Prescott. That's top pros, proven winners. Okay. Rising stars, Kyler Murray, Jimmy G. Tier four, you can win with them. This is where Ryan Tannehill pops up on the list, along with Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Teddy Bridgewater, Jared Goff, Phillip Rivers, Tyrod Taylor. Agree?
I can't have Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. I don't know about Teddy Bridgewater. I need to see it. Goff, you can win. Who else? Rivers?
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor. I don't know how Tyrod Taylor's on there. I don't know about that.
And I don't really know about Carr.
Yeah, I'm still, I don't know about that either. Yeah, I forgot about him at the beginning. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, fun little exercise on the way out. Enjoy the beautiful day outside. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow to finish up the week at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.